Now, back to Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
And Mitch Gross is here now with Eversource. And Mitch, we always appreciate having you on the show. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. How are you doing?
Well, we're busy. I know you're busy. I mean,
well, you know, yeah. Like so many others, I've been working from home for many, many months, and I'm looking out my window right now, and it's a beautiful morning, and it's hard to believe things are the forecasts say what they say, but you know, we're prepared. We've been watching this front since the weekend. We have been mobilizing our people and equipment. We have brought in additional crews from out of state. And, you know, we'll be ready. The next move will be nature, and we'll see what's delivered tonight and tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. And I know I was reading that you guys also have more representatives for your call center, which that's great for people who will be calling in. So it sounds like you guys have all hands on deck, which I'm not surprised by. Eversource always is, you know, on top of these things. But immediately, you know, I will ask the question, Mitch, because I'm sure many people are thinking this. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Isaias came barreling through Connecticut and people were out for many, many days. Does Eversource feel prepared for this storm? And are you guys anticipating massive outages like we did see in the summertime, or not so much?
Well, every storm is different, but we're always watching the forecasts and always preparing. This storm, you know, the forecasts we've been seeing, the forecasters are describing the snow as drier, you know, and that's actually beneficial. That causes less problems. You know, it depends on the texture of the snow, the characteristics, if it's a heavier, wetter snow or a drier snow, which, as I said, helps us. And, of course, there's the issue with wind. And if the winds get up there 40, 45 and above, that could cause some issues. That could cause some delays. You also have to take into effect the forecasted snow totals and, you know, the ability for us and anyone to get to where we would need to go if there's a power issue. You know, we have to work with the state and the towns to make sure that they have the roads cleared so our trucks can get into those neighborhoods if there are issues, so our guys and ladies can go to work.
Do you feel like there was enough of a heads up to bring in more crews and to be better prepared for this storm?
Oh, yes. You know, we're always watching the forecast, and yes, we always look at what's available out there. The utilities industry has a very robust mutual aid system. And it's basically if a particular utility anticipates the need, and utilities and private contractors from surrounding states or possibly Canada could assist, then they answer the call and they start heading our way if needed. And we put out the call, and the call has been answered. And we have additional line and tree crews joining the hundreds of line and tree crews we already have ready and already have pre-positioned around the state. We're ready to go. We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
And with your call center, talking to you, Mitch Gross, this morning of Eversource, with your call center, I remember back a few months ago that we had city and town leaders who were also taking their constituents' requests to get through to Eversource. Do you think bolstering up, having more people at the call center, you guys will be able to take more calls, be able to actually handle that a little bit better?
That's what it's all about, to be able to respond as quickly as we can to the calls. You know, customers also have other options. They can report if there are issues. They can go online, report them. We have a two-way texting feature that they can register for and take advantage of. You know, right now we have, as the saying goes, it's the calm before the forecasted storm. And this is a great opportunity, and we urge our customers to be prepared as well. Do they have the items they need, the bottled water, the batteries, the flashlights? Are there devices all properly charged up and ready to go? You know, there are steps customers can take right now to be prepared if the need arises.
Okay. Well, I know that, Mitch, it's obviously the goal of Eversource to avoid having what happened in Isaias and some other storms before, and being able to respond as quickly as possible. Where can people go again if for your website, if people want to get on your app or anything? Where can people go if they do need to reach out to you guys?
Well, of course, Eversource.com. That's the website. If there's an outage, of course, the number is 800-286-2000 for Eversource customers. And we want to remind our Eversource natural gas customers to keep an eye out, too, for accumulating snow as is forecasted. And if the snow does accumulate as forecasted, it's important to keep the gas meters and the outdoor vents clear of snow and possible ice buildup. And we always remind our customers, you remove that snow and ice with a broom or by hand. Don't use a shovel and never kick the gas meter, which could damage the meter. But, you know, just be prepared. We urge our customers to be prepared. We are prepared as well. We're watching this approaching storm. And, you know, if there are issues, the men and women are ready to go to work.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Gross, thank you so much for coming on this morning, and be safe.
You too. Thank you.
From Long Ridge to the Cove and all over Stamford, it's Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
So I now have it correct. A city emergency. There was a city snow emergency that went into effect for the city of Bridgeport at 8 o'clock this morning. So we are right in line with that. Only 38 minutes later, I get Scott Appleby, who's in charge of emergency management in the city of Bridgeport, here on the line live this morning. So, Scott, thank you so much for coming on. First of all, what does that mean to have a city emergency? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, we activate the city emergency, Melissa, for a couple purposes. Number one is to, you know, per our emergency operations plan, those are the procedures that we have to take, you know, through state federal requirements. Secondly, it's really to clear the emergency roads of all cars. And those emergency routes are the routes that lead up to most of our critical infrastructures, such as the hospitals, police stations, you know, fire stations, so on and so forth, right? So it allows us to clearly move throughout the city, God forbid, if there's an emergency. And then we go to our secondary roads, which again, through this emergency, we ask residents to park on the even side of the street, which, again, allows the plow drivers to go down, clear a section of the roadway, at least allows us to have a passable lane in the event that there are any, you know, major emergencies or any health emergencies that we need to respond to within the city.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. Now, if somebody is parked incorrectly, they'll get ticketed. Will they get towed out of the way?
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, the enforcement does come if you are not if you are parked on an emergency street. And those emergency snow streets, there's white signs, there's red lettering. It says, you know, this is a dedicated snow emergency street. You could go to our city's website, bridgeportct/snow. A list of all the emergency streets are listed there. But yes, unfortunately, if you're not adhering to the snow emergency street or the side streets, the alternate side of the street with the even side, there can be a ticket and a tow. And unfortunately, that incurs a cost of about $130 tow fee. And again, it's not about fining people. It's about ensuring that the safety of the community and people are compliant with that, you know, for us to maintain the safety of the community.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Talking to Scott Appleby this morning with the city of Bridgeport. Now, Scott, I've got to be honest with you. I've already gotten a couple of phone calls. I'm not going to tell you who they're from because that would just be ratting out my friends. But I have some friends who are teachers in Bridgeport.
Sure.
They want to know, because we know that there are other school districts that have decided to go virtual. Other school districts have decided to just cancel tomorrow because they were about power outages. Do we have any idea if Bridgeport is thinking about canceling school for tomorrow, or are we thinking just to stick with we've been virtual, I know, this whole time? We just had the superintendent on last week, but any idea if we're anticipating strong power outages, and if so, that kids will be off tomorrow?
Good question. I mean, if I could predict what we're actually going to get right now for the future, I'd probably go to Mohegan Sun. Yeah, or play Lotto, right? No, I don't. I don't want to tiptoe. I do not know. I mean, right now the forecast is saying anywhere from 8 inches to 16 inches, right?
Sure.
And it's all going to be dependent upon what the heavy bands or where those heavy bands lie. From our perspective, I do not know, honestly, what the Board of Education will do in regards to us being virtual and doing distant learning anyway, so no one really is coming to the schools. But I don't know that. And, and you know, I could, you know, whoever your friends are, right, without ratting them out, if they want to email me or they should have my email address in their directory, give me a shout, but we will certainly ask the superintendent that question once I get off the phone with you.
Oh, that's, there you go. See, guys, see, I'm telling you, it's okay. Just ask questions. It's okay. You're not going to get in trouble. Everybody likes snow days, no matter how old you are. Now,
sure.
Scott, I would think today is one of those days where I have to be honest, I'm grateful that Mother Nature is not really wreaking havoc until about 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon. I would imagine, you know, the PSAs are out everywhere to make sure people get their medications, get everything they need, because they're probably going to be stuck indoors at least all the way through till Thursday, possibly even Friday. How are we as far as prepping with trucks, having city roads ready? Like, when do we anticipate neighborhood roads getting done?
Well, right now, our crews are out right now prepping the roads. You know, they're putting down what's called brine. You know, it's a liquid type salt-based system. They're putting down the sand and salt. They're doing all that now just so that when it does start to snow, that at least they have a base to go on. You'll probably start to see crews really start to be out in your neighborhoods roughly around 7 o'clock. The storm's supposed to impact us around 7 and then last until about 5 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. So they'll have crews out throughout the night. But again, you got to remember, we are going to do the emergency snow streets first. Then we're going to get to the secondary roads. So if you do not see a plow driver, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it does not mean they're not going to come by your road. If there's any immediate danger to life and health, meaning that you need to get out, there's an emergency that at that time, then we want you to call 911. If there's no emergency and you just want to find out, you know, what's going on with the plowing, you could contact, there's a couple numbers. You could contact our Emergency Operations Center as always, which is 203-579-3829. And you could also contact the Bridgeport Public Facilities Department, which I do believe that number is 576-7183. Let me get you that number back, Melissa, so you get it to your crews, the folks that are listening in right now.
Okay.
But if they call the emergency management number, the Emergency Operations Center, 579-3829, we'll be more than happy to get that over to the public facilities folks.
Okay.
So while they're going out there, you're going to see them again, emergency roads. Then they're going to get to the secondary roads. They are going to get to you. We do ask, though, that residents, and especially those that have contractors that they come in to plow their driveways or plow their businesses, it's a $100 fine if you plow that into the roadway. It is a $100 fine. Police
wow,
are out there.
Okay.
Going to be enforcing. You know, we get a lot that we clear a main road, a main artery. Next thing you know, you see a ton of snow coming in from plows out into the middle of the roadway, causing another hazard. So, you know, we're trying to avoid that as well. And again, it's not about, you know, I really want to emphasize this. I mean, it's not about finding people. It's about having a safe passage. God forbid if you need an ambulance, if you need a police officer, if you need the firefighters.
Right.
Everybody loves the firefighters, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah.
But if you need them, it's a safe passage for them to get to you. And if we're obstructing that line of sight, in a sense, or that alleyway to get to them, it's going to delay us in our response, and we don't want that.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad enough, we have Mother Nature going to drop 8 inches to, you know, potentially 16 inches of snow. But we all play a role in this. It's a whole community effort, right? We're all part of the team, and we really need everybody to help us out on that.
Yeah, amen to that. Scott Appleby with the emergency management in the city of Bridgeport. Thank you so much. I've already texted Rowena White to have you come back on tomorrow morning, so get ready for that, my friend.
Oh, boy. You just give me more and more work, Melissa.
I'm sorry, Scott, but I know that you like to talk to me. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's look on the bright side. At least we're not complaining about mosquitoes right now.
See?
I mean, that's a good thing, right?
See? I knew you'd see it my way. Scott Appleby, thank you so much. We'll talk again tomorrow. Be safe, please.
Thanks, Melissa. You too.
All right, we appreciate it.
Heard on High Ridge. Long Ridge, and all over Stamford. It's Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
The first round of COVID vaccines have made it to St. Vincent's Medical Center. And joining me this morning is Karen Cinto. She is the Regional Director of Pharmacy Lab and Respiratory Services at St. Vincent's Medical Center. And Karen, thanks for getting up this morning and talking to us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So first of all, I wanted to talk about this freezer on site. Because we know that the Pfizer vaccine has to be cold, is what you continue to hear. It's got to be a certain temperature for it to be effective. So tell us about the freezer that's at St. Vincent's. My understanding is, I think St. V's and Hartford Healthcare, are they the only two hospitals that have this actual freezer on site?
Hartford Hospital and St. Vincent's are the only two hospitals in the Hartford Healthcare region. There are other hospitals in Connecticut that do have the deep freezer. So the deep freezer just means that it goes down to negative 80 degrees Celsius or negative 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So think cold, like dry ice cold, and not your typical freezer that you have at your house.
Okay. Well, that's actually good to kind of differentiate that. That makes sense. So how does it sort of work? So for example, you know, I know that healthcare workers, they're first up, obviously, to get the COVID vaccine. So how does it work? Like, as soon as you take one of these vaccines out of this deep freezer, like, or do they have to be used immediately? Like, what is the time frame like? Tell us the process of getting the vaccine.
So the vaccine will arrive to us on dry ice and will be immediately placed into the deep freezer. And then when we're ready to run a clinic, we can pull out the needed doses from the deep freezer and put them immediately into a refrigerator in the clinic area. And while they're in the refrigerator, they are good for 5 days. So we have some time to administer those medications. Once we take them out of the refrigerator and we dilute them, they are good for 6 hours. So, for the clinic purposes, it gives us a little bit of wiggle room to make sure we administer the medication, but also don't waste any doses.
How many doses did you guys get yesterday?
We are slotted for the 200 for the first week. It was a slow rollout from the state. And next week we are anticipating another 1,000 and then probably double that the next week with the intent of trying to get the majority of the hospital employees vaccinated within the first 3 weeks so that when we get to week 4, we can focus mostly on the second doses that people are requiring.
Has St. V's mandated the vaccine for all healthcare workers?
We have not mandated. It is strongly encouraged, but we did do a survey, and about 80% of our staff are willing to take the vaccine.
Okay. All right. Talking this morning to Karen Cinto of St. Vincent's Medical Center. She's the Regional Director of Pharmacy Lab and Respiratory Services. Now, Karen, this is a question I've gotten from a lot of listeners. I believe I know the answer, but I'd rather hear it from you. If you are a patient, you go into St. Vincent's Medical Center to deal with your COVID symptoms. Do you get bumped up on the list of getting one of these COVID vaccines?
No. Right now, there's not a lot of data about what time frame, once you actually have been infected with COVID, to when you should get the vaccine. But no, patients will not be bumped up based on severity of their illness while they're in the hospital.
So it doesn't essentially, other than being able to protect your healthcare workers, I know, like, so for example, we still don't have an update really on Norwalk Hospital, even Bridgeport Hospital for that matter, on when they're getting their doses. But that's really more for the healthcare workers who are at risk. It doesn't really matter for patients. Like, I'm thinking people who are upset who live in Norwalk and there's, you know, hey, why isn't it in our city yet? Well, it doesn't really apply to you anyways. It's really for the healthcare workers' benefit. It's not to help the general public at this point.
Well, that's not completely true. So I do know the Connecticut DPH does have a plan for distribution to all of the facilities in the state of Connecticut that signed up, and that does include non-hospitals. I just can't speak to the exact date or getting it, but I believe all the hospitals will be receiving the vaccine this week. And when you vaccinate people, there's something called like a herd immunity, so that one, there's a large group of people who have either had the virus or who have been vaccinated against it will prevent the spread. So the key to doing the healthcare providers first was that they are interacting with many, many patients, and and other employees. So we don't want to be spreading the infection to each other or to the patient. So it does protect the community in the sense that you're slowing the spread down in a local area. And then there is plans after the healthcare providers to start rolling it out into the community. So we were looking at a vaccination rollout of months, not weeks, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, that's good to get that perspective for sure. Do you know if, like, the hospital, if St. V's is frustrated at all with the slow rollout? I think that, you know, when we initially heard 31,000 vaccinations or doses, I should say, it sounds like at first you'll think, oh, okay, that sounds like a lot. But then when you think about the healthcare workers and frontline workers and nursing homes, 31,000 really is not a lot in the grand scheme of things for Connecticut. So was St. V's, like, how are they sort of responding to, I would say, kind of a slow rollout, as you had mentioned earlier?
I wouldn't say frustrated. That's not really, I don't think that's really the word. I think hopefully anxious, right? So we are looking at the vaccine as hope for potential recovery in the community and the state, you know, being able to hug our friends and family sooner than later. So yeah. It's more of, but there's also that whole scientist of us who want to say, let's see what happens that first dose. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, we're anxious to get people vaccinated, but we also want to do it right. We want to do it safe, and we want to make sure the rollout is fair and done in a way that we can, you know, we can reach the entire community eventually. So frustrated is not the right word. I'd say we're anxiously awaiting.
Okay. I like that. Well, Karen Cinto, thank you so much for coming on this morning, explaining what's going on at St. Vincent's Medical Center. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.